New Galaxy Broadcasting proudly presents Integrative Hermetic Health with Hugo Rodier, MD. In this program, we explore a powerful new paradigm for health from the standpoint of integrative medicine. In his practice, Dr. Rodier integrates the ancient Hermetic art and the enduring role of food as medicine with modern nutrition, but also allowing for the wide range of important health practices, including truly valuable medical discoveries, chiropractic, acupuncture, homeopathic and herbal medicine. In this program, Hugo Rodier, an expert in intestinal health and nutrition, will help the audience discover an approach that focuses on actual cures, not the masking of the elegant simplicity of many health solutions for the sake of profit. Profit too long has been an overriding motive of the pharmaceutical companies, and sometimes, sadly, by many in the medical establishment today.
This is Johnny Bluestar. My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. Projects could be nonfiction books or novels, screenplays, commercials, audio or video products, musical scores for ads, TV or film, etc. If you need help to accomplish your goals, visit NewGalaxyEnterprises.com or contact me at JohnnyBluestar@gmail.com. Turn your vision into a dazzling media reality. Manifest your media dream today.
Some say that the history of medicine has been continually evolving since the time of the ancient Greek physician Hippocrates. But today, some experienced and knowledgeable doctors beg to differ. They clearly see forms of medical treatment that often serve to suppress symptoms with pharmaceuticals that have dangerous, if not fatal, side effects. Also, recommendations for surgical intervention that place profitability over the well-being of their patients. These doctors refuse to include in their practice the many modern and ancient health disciplines utilizing herbs, homeopathic remedies, acupuncture, and above all, the power of nutrition. Many of the most useful insights are grounded in Hermetic science developed hundreds of years ago. Hugo Rodier, MD, author, broadcaster, and practicing physician, has spent his career focusing on nutrition and intestinal health. In fact, only now medical journals are coming to terms with the guiding points of view he had realized decades ago. Please join with me, Johnny Bluestar, as I assist Dr. Hugo Rodier in his new program, Integrative Hermetic Health. Hi, Hugo, are you there?
Yes.
So, can you tell us something about the ancient Hermetic arts? I mean, how did you get involved in looking at something so old and so much forgotten by the modern world, and how have you integrated this into your practice of medicine?
Well, it goes to how my mind works. I'm a forest type of guy, not a tree guy, if you know what that means. And so since I was a child, I thought that integrating diverse ideas is the way to go. And if I could put them together, make sense of the forest, then I didn't think I was seeing the true picture. Of course, we need both points of view. We need people that focus on trees as well. So that's a true integrative approach. As a child, then I was born right-handed and I played a lot of soccer, and I thought, hey, you know, my left hand is just sitting there. All I do with it is pick my nose and my left foot, never use it and on the field. And so I began to train myself to use my left side. That is to train my right brain, if you will. And so I think that helped me tremendously. So then, being pretty much a foreigner in Chile myself, never knowing where I fit in, I had a more global approach to my thinking, and that did wonders for me. So as I began to study more officially, I began to focus on history, on anthropology, on philosophy, on religion, theology, not just the medical field. And I was naive enough to think that a doctor would need to put all these things together to become a true healer in the mode of physicians of old that looked at the whole person. And so I naively thought that I'd be trained that way when I got to medical school. And of course, that sounds like a joke if you know how medical schools teach people. So naturally, obviously, I was quite disappointed. I was being trained in medical school to become a vending machine for the pharmaceuticals. You know, you push a button, A2, and here comes the drug. And, you know, a monkey can do that. And so,
well, it's a very mnemonic type of training, too. It's like you're memorizing a great deal of things, but you're not necessarily really thinking about them in any kind of philosophical way.
Exactly. So the only thing I had learned in medical school is where the library was. And so I began to study out of journals, even in medical school. And when I graduated, I began to read 150 journals a month. And so I began to see that textbooks and what doctors were saying throughout the country was quite dated. And in the process, I began to see that we were just treating symptoms and not addressing root issues of diseases, because that's what the pharmaceutical wants. And while there's a place for pharmaceuticals, we all know that, they're quite overused and they never address the root issues. But at the same time, I was beginning to become a man, a man in the sense of the word, meaning I wanted to know about my own identity, my own thoughts, my own philosophy, a bit of religious upheaval, if you will, that we might get into it later. But so I began to dig deep into history and anthropology and the roots of human thinking. And I began to see that all those old things, old ideas, are being corroborated by modern physics. And one thing led to another. Pretty soon I was looking at mythology, at how the ancients perceived the world and the gods. And I began to see that a lot of those things were symbols that reflected very deep realities that, again, physics has been confirming. And so, in essence, Ecclesiastes was quite right. There's nothing new under the sun. And so modern science, modern physics, modern medicine, modern nutrition are nothing but rehashing all these old concepts. So to symbolize all this, it was just amazing, such serendipity. I began to see that the caduceus, the symbol of the medical profession, in the hands of Hermes, said it all. And that's the power of symbols. And the ancients knew that only those who dedicate themselves to dig deep can enjoy the fruits of reality, if you will. And so that's a big reason why they couched a lot of their insight in symbols. And it's not that it's secret, but it's sacred, meaning the profane, those who don't understand, are likely to trample on simple ideas when they're not ready to receive them, to understand them. So that's why they're somewhat veiled. But I'm not saying you can't look into it, any regular Joe Blow. Of course you can, and in fact, we'll talk about them today. But I have a hunch that we have a very select audience who already has intuitively understood a whole lot of the things that we're going to talk about.
Well, that's great. And we are going to have a very interesting discussion, sort of introducing this program and the relationship between the ancient Hermetic art and modern medicine, and particularly modern nutrition. And we will go to a break now. We'll be right back. This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. If you're an author and want your novel adapted to the screen or to the new high-quality TV series developed by Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix, for example, I probably can help. My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a media content company, and I've worked on a number of adaptations, including a dramatic version of ventriloquist Paul Winchell's autobiography, an adaptation of a novel co-authored by myself and a Korean War veteran, an historical account of the Mexican art revolution, a science fiction screenplay based on a fictional novel account of fallen angels, and many other proprietary and client-based projects. We want our projects to be with high quality potential and positive intent. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form. If you're not fond of books, you may be interested in watching Dr. Rodier's slide presentation on his website, hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. It lasts 48 minutes and explains the simple roots of all diseases with pictures and graphs that are easy to understand. The presentation includes basic principles of physics, philosophy, anthropology, and history to truly integrate the most vital pillars of human health. In Ken Ead's book, The Involuntary Spy, Seth Rogen, a scientist, after having discovered a major deception created by a multi-billion dollar worldwide agribusiness giant that he works for, is driven by his conscience to release the information to the public at the peril of his reputation, career, and life itself. To do this, he must take refuge in Moscow. Here is an excerpt.
Chapter 4. Yuri helped Seth settle into the safe house in Moscow. Tomorrow night, he would take the 9-hour flight to the Far East. From the apartment, he could see the colorful and distinctive towers of St. Basil's Cathedral from his window, and the glittering gold onion domes of the Church of Annunciation in the Kremlin. This was the Kremlin he had seen so many times on television. Back then, during the Cold War, it had represented the seat of the Empire of Evil. Now, it was oddly beautiful. The American press was already doing damage control on Seth's report to Russia Today. The president called it propaganda, and said that the United States was against the manufacture of biological weapons. Spokesman from the company said that Seth's report to RT should be disregarded as the words of a traitor and a thief. Because of his fleeing the country, Seth's story was discredited in every mainstream media report.
"Okay, your name now is George Amers," said Yuri, smiling, holding out documents. "Here is new passport."
"I'm Canadian?"
"Yes."
"Does that mean I have to say A all the time?"
"Seth, Russians don't care what you say. But don't talk to people.
Don't talk to people.
And don't go anywhere. Just to work and back home.
Sounds boring."
"Isn't that what you guys do in America anyway?"
"Well, yeah."
"Okay. Don't make friends. If you want a girl, we get you a girl."
"That sucks."
"Look, it's only for 6 months. Then you can do what you want. If you see anything suspicious, call me."
"6 months, eh?"
"Yes, 6 months. Oh, and shave mustache and color hair."
"What?"
"You prefer shave head and color mustache?"
No, that's okay. I'll take the hair color."
"And we fix nose."
"What's wrong with my nose?"
"Nose too big."
"It's not."
"We fix anyway."
"Okay, let me see if I've got it. Don't go anywhere, don't make friends, sleep with prostitutes that you send to me, and wear a disguise."
"Yes, you are smart. Don't forget to use lenses I gave you for eyes, and..."
"What?"
"Lose some weight."
Seth worked on his disguise with the materials Yuri had left in the safe house. He said a fond farewell to the mustache that had been with him since high school, and picked a dark brown color to mask his light brown hair. With the contacts in, his eyes changed from green to brown. He didn't even recognize himself. The surface disguise was the easy part. Being George Amers would be the true disguise to master.
We're back with Dr. Hugo Rodier in the program called Integrative Hermetic Health. And we have been discussing the Caduceus and the ancient art of Hermes, the Hermetic art, and their relationship to the practice of medicine today. And can we go back and talk about that some more, Doctor?
Sure. So let's revisit Hermes. Hermes is best known for STD Floral, you know, the guy running around with the caduceus advertising flowers. That's Hermes. All right, that's how most people have seen him before. But The caduceus that he holds in one hand is a symbol of the medical profession, the symbol of healing. And I need to reiterate the point that hermetic, the very word hermetic, means sealed, secret. That's why we say hermetically sealed. But it must be understood that this knowledge is open to anyone who makes an effort to find out for themselves. So it's not an elitist concept at all, but it's meant for those who work and then deserve the wisdom and the insights that come from studying what this symbol represents. Hermes is also known as Mercury. I should say Hermes is the messenger of the gods, the person who brings wisdom and information to mankind from the gods, and he was called Hermes. It's a very prototypical, universal character. In Greece, he was called Hermes, and in Rome, he was called Mercury. In Egypt, he was called Thoth or Tahuti, and in the Americas, he was called Viracocha or Quetzalcoatl. So he's found everywhere. And there are reasons for that. We'll get into it some other time. But the point now is to focus on the caduceus. And so to make a mental picture, the caduceus is a staff with two serpents winding around it. And then there are wings at the top of the staff. And it's just amazing how much meaning there is in the caduceus. And I don't think it was an accident that medicine picked this symbol, but I fear that its meaning has been lost to modern medicine. So let's backtrack a little bit to the time of the Renaissance, the Medici in Florence. These people were incredibly rich, and the men in charge, the Doge, felt that they could become even richer if they understood secret or sacred concepts from antiquity. So they caught wind of the Book of Thoth, the Book of Enoch, if you will. Incidentally, Enoch is another name for this personage, Hermes Mercury. Enoch was then the prophet in the Bible that was translated at the end of his life, if you will. But that's another character or name for Hermes. Well, it turns out that there were 42 books in Egypt and the Middle East, comprising the Book of Thoth or the Book of Enoch. So they sent a monk to go get them, and he found them and came back with these 42 books, 36 of which were about health, and the other six were about knowledge in general. Well, this influx of knowledge brought on or triggered the Renaissance and the Enlightenment. And that's what triggered started modern medicine. And that's why we call it medicine, because of the Medici in Florence. And so that's when the caduceus was adopted as the symbol of the medical profession. I feel that these people knew exactly what they were doing. So let's just dissect, if you will, the meaning of the caduceus.
Okay.
Well, number one, you've got serpents and birds, wings and snakes winding up around the staff, all right? Well, that's exactly what Hermes stands for. As above, so below. As above, the wings, the birds flying in the air, and as below on the earth, the snakes crawling on earth. As above, so below was the very main message of the Emerald Tablets when we first hear about Hermes in antiquity. And so the very point, which I'm pretty sure our listeners already know, is that spiritual things and earthly things are the same and connected. And that's the very essence of your approach to your political show, Johnny. You have maintained from the get-go that everything about politics, those earthly things, that are poorly understood or totally connected to a higher reality, a spiritual realm, if you will, and to disconnect them, to not see the association between them, is folly. And it leads to a lot of problems, as we've talked about on your show. But it's the same in all endeavors, human endeavors, in all philosophies, in all walks of life, even medicine, which is what we're focusing on right now. In fact, we see this symbology throughout the world. Moses himself used the staff and snakes to heal people. The flag of Mexico has an eagle and snakes. And so what is the meaning of snakes and birds? It turns out that the ancients always maintained that snakes symbolized strength, energy, whereas wings or birds symbolized wisdom or information. And so let me repeat, because this is so profound and the basis of all understanding about everything in nature, including politics and medicine. Wings or birds are symbols of information or wisdom coming from the heavens. Snakes are symbols of strength, of energy, of being grounded, of the physical, whereas the wings are symbols of the spiritual. So here's a symbol combining both around a staff. The staff then symbolizes balance, a balance between strength and wisdom, a balance between energy and information. And guess what another word is for balance, Johnny?
Okay.
Tell me, what other words come to your mind that are synonyms?
Equilibrium.
Equilibrium. Yes. What else?
Homeostasis. Homeostasis. Yes, that's a good one.
Homeostasis, which is the internationally recognized synonym for health. So there you have it. In order to be healthy, you have to have a balance of strength, wisdom, a balance of as above, so below, a balance of the spiritual and the physical, a balance between the feminine and the masculine, a balance between right and wrong, good and evil, light and darkness, etc., etc., etc. This is incredibly profound. And just as an aside, we'll get back to the Caduceus. It is so interesting that there's a movement now in modern medicine to replace the Caduceus with the Asclepius. Does that ring a bell, Asclepius?
It rings a bell, but I can't place it. Asclepius.
All right. Asclepius is the messenger or the errand boy of Hermes. And Asclepius is symbolized by one staff and one snake. Not two. And I have a picture in front of me that we should share with the audience at some point if technology allows, where it shows Hermes with the Caduceus comforting women, whereas Asclepius is pushing them away. And so, to me, the symbology of that picture is so clear. It means that modern medicine, trying to replace the Caduceus, a well-balanced approach, with the Asclepius, only one snake, it means that we've rejected the feminine, meaning we're all about strength, all about the male, but we rejected wisdom, the female. And the power of symbols is incredible. Let me go back to the Caduceus. As I said, it's a symbol of strength and wisdom, the balance of those two forces, which the Kabbalah will tell you are the very foundations of life. The tree of life are three pillars in the Kabbalah. The pillar of strength, the pillar of wisdom, the male and the female, justice and mercy. And in the middle, they have a third pillar called balance or equilibrium or homeostasis or health. And so modern physics, and I still have a mental picture of the journal Science cover issue discussing how modern physics has totally determined that the ancients were totally correct in singling out these two forces, strength and wisdom, to create the world. The creative forces of the grand architect of the universe, if you will. And so instead of calling those forces strength and wisdom, they have called them energy and information. So if you talk to any physicist, they'll tell you that all the whole universe, the whole of reality, is based on energy and information. Ones and zeros, computer language. But now we're looking at not one or a zero. We're looking at one and a zero for better computing, quantum computing. And so what are they saying? That we cannot have a balanced reality unless we combine strength and wisdom, good and evil, virtue and vice. Meaning that our approach is quite divisive. As humans, we have a hard time integrating opposites. F. Scott Fitzgerald was famous for saying, men go crazy if they are not able, when they confront, I'm paraphrasing, they confront these forces and are not able to put them together. And so to me, whenever I hear people spousing opposites, without considering the other side, they sound crazy.
Well, you know, just to make an analogy here, the health of our political spectrum is also based on an imbalance, because
exactly.
If you look at the Democrats and the Republicans, the Democrats are sort of the yin, the soft side. They project themselves as that. I'm not saying they are that, and they're projecting themselves as they're going to take care of everybody, and they're into social programs and all this, and then the Republicans take the very hard side. It's like in our diplomacy with North Korea right now, but in general, but as basically supported by Trump and his supporters, it's not, you know, have a soft voice but carry a big stick. It's carry a very hard voice and also carry a very big stick.
Well, there you have it. See, this is why I like to focus on these very basic things. And then you begin to make parallels like you did, and you begin to see that everything is about strength and wisdom, energy and information. So to put it in other words, what you just said, the Republican Party is about strength, about the male, about the right of the rich, the rights of capital, those who work hard. They say they work hard and earn by the sweat of their brow their bread. And who's to say that all those things are wrong? But on the other side, you have wisdom, where we realize that if we don't take care of the disenfranchised, they will rebel and attack the rich. The wisdom side is to say we're all one. We need to take care of each other. We need to extend a hand to the disenfranchised. And just because they're disenfranchised doesn't mean that they have less rights. So it's a more feminine approach. But they're both correct. And
they need to be integrated, right? Integrated
exactly.
Health.
A balance of capital and labor. So if we now move to health, we need to then see that we need a balance between strength and wisdom, between energy and information for healing. Before I go on with that, let me just give you an example. Nutrition, food. What is food? Food is nothing but energy and information. And so energy, calories, information, micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, etc. And so where did we get that food from? From the sun. From the sun, through photosynthesis, we harness the energy and information of the sun. And that's another huge hermetic concept, because it's all about harnessing the energy and information from the sun. So the ancients knew that everything about religion, philosophy, and the gods was the sun. In fact, if you study ancient philosophy and mythology, it's all about the power of the sun. You see, in fact, a whole lot of our deities have sun in their names, in their very names. Mithra, Agni, Usha in India. Christ himself and his father were often compared to the sun. So it all boils down to the light of the sun. In fact, the very cross, which is a Sumeric symbol, not adopted by the Christians, is a symbol of the light of the sun. You see? And what is light? Yes, any physicists, what is light? They'll tell you it's energy and information. And so, you know, it can become quite profound when we start to put things together. Then it's easier to look at complex issues because you have struck at the root. And so let me take it back to health.
Well, we need to take a break now for a minute.
All right.
Or two, and come back, and maybe we will we'll proceed and get a deeper insight into this balance of forces that have to really be in everything and how we apply it to our health. We'll be right back.
All right.
New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects like book covers, logos, web design elements with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact,
go to newgalaxyenterprises.com or email me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com.
For artist illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too.
Dr. Hugo Rodier has published 4 books on health issues covering practically all chronic health problems. You may find them by accessing his website at hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. Gut health is the most academic, while switching off chronic disease is the most patient-oriented, with simple recipes to implement his nutritional protocols.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We can take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
We're back. We're discussing now with Dr. Hugo Rodier the actual sort of foundations of health, based on some of some understanding that is maybe thousands of years old. I wonder, Doctor, if I could put a little more ammunition in your weapon here, of your truth weapon.
Sure, go for it.
I'd like to read the actual emerald tablets of Hermes Trismegistus, which really complements your discussion of the Caduceus. May I?
Sure, go for it.
Starts out right where you were, what you were talking about in the last session. What is below is like that which is above, and what is above is similar to that which is below to accomplish the wonders of one thing. As all things were produced by the mediation of the one being, so all things were produced from this one by adaptation. The Father is the Son. Its mother is the moon. It is the cause of all perfection throughout the whole earth. Its power is perfect if it changed into earth. Separate the earth from the fire, the subtle from the gross, acting prudently and with judgment. Ascend with greatest sagacity from the earth to heaven, and then descend again to earth, and unite together the power of things inferior and superior. Thus you will possess the light of the whole world, and all obscurity will fly from you. This thing has more fortitude than fortitude itself, but because it will overcome every subtle thing and penetrate every solid thing, by it the world was formed. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, it's an amazing synthesis of very critical things to understand.
Yes, let me, as a commentary, quote Einstein, which incidentally got a whole lot of his information, if you will, from dreams. And he freely admitted it. He felt that he was being inspired from above, as above, so below.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the things he's famous for saying is, quote, simplify everything you do. Any fool will complicate things. It takes a genius to simplify them. If I cannot explain something in simple terms, I have not understood it, period. And so I got to tell you that that's exactly what I thought as a child, but I'm not going to take credit for it. Like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. I did not know anything about Einstein when that thought came into my head. And Johnny, I can tell you that it came from outside me. I take no credit for it. That's why I've grown up thinking that intuition wins the day. All right. And so to quote Einstein again, the most beautiful emotion is the sensation of the mystical. It is the power of all true science. He's also famous for saying science without religion is lame and religion without science is blind. And so before people start thinking, oh my gosh, we're getting really woo-woo here, please read David Deutsch, a modern physicist. He's received a lot of physics awards. I first came acquainted with his work when he wrote The Fabric of Reality, where he tells you the very same things we've been talking about. He followed that book up with The Beginning of Infinity. So those are two books that can easily get you into how physics is corroborating all this. Now, if you want to attack it from the opposite side, a more mystical side, then all you have to do is read the Woolly Masters or the Tao of Physics. Those are two great books written from a more Buddhist approach. But it doesn't matter whether you come from the left or the right, from above or below, from science or philosophy, it is the same. And also, to think that religion is totally devoid of truth, or to think that science is all truth, is folly. You know, it's a mix that we need to come to terms with, in my opinion.
I agree. I would like to point out here something about the about symbols like the Caduceus or the Tree of Life, which is the Kabbalistic system, or the chakra, what we see often as the chakras in Hindu and Buddhist iconology. And that is that these patterns, which basically exhibit this balance of forces between the soft and the hard, between love and strength, or mercy, compassion and strength. These symbols, they follow a certain pattern upwards, like particularly, let's say, the tree of life or the chakra system, where they can start with the physical, and they can move to the sort of the etheric, which would be sort of the human personality, and from that they move into perhaps a higher level of that balance of forces on the astral or the spiritual, a certain spiritual level, and move from there to an understanding of the different planes of reality. So they have a sort of, they replicate themselves in different ways on different levels of, if you like, vibration. And so what I see is sort of the pattern of understanding integrative health is replicated in the pattern of understanding oneself through the art of meditation.
Yes, I feel that it's great to study from strength. That is good science. And I continue to read a whole lot of medical journals and write books and look at the medical literature. That's the strength part of it. But it has to be balanced with the wisdom part, the intuition part, the meditation part, the part where you're open to light from outside. And of course, you know, you have to be well grounded to do that, because there's a danger where you can be taken up by your own preconceived notions or infantile programming that can pass for inspiration. And I look no further than our present president for that danger.
Yes, well, you know, I don't know at what point. The irony of my life is that I got very, very sick in New York. I won't go into all the details, but I got very sick in New York, and I actually left New York because I was having so much problems with coughing and asthmatic type of symptoms. And I had been working with somebody who was probably the most prolific writer on health issues, who owned a health food store in New York, but I was working on different projects with him. And I wound up in New Orleans, which is the worst place in the world for asthma, being very sick. And I actually encountered there, when I thought I was going to die, a different type of diet. And this diet made no sense to me whatsoever. And when I tried it, though, in 3 days, I had none of these symptoms. And part of the diet was keeping off of sugar. And I was baffled by how this could be, because I'd been told I had a sickness that was really basically incurable. And then suddenly I'm cured. And I go back and I read some of my this associates of mine in New York, his books, and the cure was there. But I wouldn't even look at it, because I was so identified with my sort of pharmaceutical medical concept of health.
Well, let's take that example and discuss it under the light of what we've been talking about. Energy and information, strength and wisdom, okay? So that's a good segue. Let's start by focusing on another image that will explain this real well, the Ouroboros. Are you familiar with the Ouroboros?
Are you talking about the worm?
It's a snake that eats its own tail.
Oh, okay, yes.
So it forms a circle. So you can picture a snake eating its own tail. It forms a circle. Well, the Sumerians would put a dove in the middle of that circle.
Really?
Energy and information, okay? So that's the concept of destruction, construction, creation, destruction, which is symbolized by Shiva in India. So the concept that nature is creating and destroying itself over and over, over and over, that's a worldwide universal symbol, the Ouroboros. That's what's going on in reality. It's all about creation, destruction, night and day, winter, summer, spring, fall. It's all about being created and destroyed on a daily basis. And so keep that in mind. So what fuels this creation destruction? Energy and information. Because the caduceus tells you that a snake is eating its own tail, and in the center there's a dove. So strength and wisdom, energy and information fuel creation. And how is that so in the body? Turns out that we have about 100 trillion cells, human cells in the body. Every day we lose 10 billion cells, and we create 10 billion new cells. And what do we need to create those 10 billion new cells? Energy and information. Food, the very food we eat, which is harnessing the very energy of the sun. And so creation, not only physical but spiritual, is a function of balance, of health, the balance of strength and information. And that's why Masons symbolize two kings, King Hiram and King Solomon, representing strength and wisdom. And then there's an architect, Hiram Abiff, in the middle, representing balance, because creation is done by us as humans on a daily basis. Even our minds create the whole of reality, which a lot of physicists are playing with as well. But I digress a little bit, but not really, because all things are connected. What I'm driving at is that health is the very balance of the intake of energy and information to create those new 10 billion cells that we lose every day. And so you can see how critical food is, energy and information, to create those 10 billion new cells. Now, keep that in mind as we talk about asthma. Turns out that, as you well said, asthma is curable. I cure it all the time in my clinic. And how do I do it? Through nutrition. Because let's just go backwards from what you've been told about asthma. Asthma is an inflammatory condition of the cells that line your bronchioles, right?
Yeah.
And so if those cells are inflamed, the lining cells of the bronchioles, they'll go into spasms because there are muscles underneath those cells lining the bronchioles. And so if you're sufficiently inflamed in the lining of the bronchioles, they will go into spasms, creating the breathing problems that you're familiar with.
Horrible.
So let's peel that onion. Where is the inflammation generated that ends up in the bronchioles? It's generated by the immune system, is it not? Because we all know asthma is an inflammatory condition of the immune system. So tell me where the immune system is. In the gut. 2/3 of the immune system are the gut bacteria. The other third are the floaties in the blood, immunoglobulins, antibodies, macrophages, white cells. They're patrolling the blood for bad guys, either chemicals or bugs. But where did these floaties, 1/3 of the immune system, take their marching orders from? From the gut bacteria. And so you can see that the immune system generates the inflammation. And why is the gut bacteria so upset with you and all other asthmatics and arthritic people and et cetera, et cetera? Because you're not feeding those bacteria in the gut properly. So you notice that by eating food devoid of good energy and good information, you created an imbalance in the gut flora, which it reacts to, and it produces the inflammation or alarms, that inflammation generated in the gut because of bad energy and information, bad food, that inflammation generated in the gut will leak out of the gut because the lining cells of the intestines are themselves inflamed. They leak because they shrivel up when they're inflamed. So that inflammation generated in the gut escapes the gut. And pray tell, Johnny, where does it go?
Well, it goes to the bronchial tubes. And what I experienced was when I started to eat properly and stop eating the things that were bad for me, the first thing that I, and it was absolutely amazing to me, my bronchial tube, I was so congested, I could not sleep in a prone position. And then suddenly I felt this clearing in my bronchial tubes and I wasn't coughing. And I couldn't believe it because I wasn't supposed to experience this. This woman.
Yes.
And you want to go talk about a sign. I mean, like a sort of a spiritual side to this. The woman's name and the name of her store, which I avoided because of the name, was Helen Keller. She actually was named Helen Keller. And I associated that name with blindness. And I wasn't looking at the other side of Helen Keller, which is an extraordinary woman who produced a great deal of light from her experience. But the thing is, I avoided it. And then I went there, and the lady told me it was curable, and I didn't believe her. And so I was completely closed to this type of wisdom. But somehow the universe wanted me to survive. And I happened to meet this lady.
Now you see how it is that you were healed because of these simple concepts that can be applied to every human thought, energy and information and food. Your gut flora, your gut immune system was healed, so the inflammation was treated at the source. So you don't need those inhalers that expand the bronchioles like albuterol and budesonide, which are adrenaline-based and steroid-based to open up the bronchioles, because now you're working at the source of the inflammation instead of treating the side effects or the complications of the inflammation. And so that's why the practice of medicine uses so many anti-inflammatories, which is all well and good, but wouldn't it be better to deal with the source of the inflammation, which is
yes.
immune system? And so there you have it. Now, let me tell you about an article that, well, there's so many, but one comes to mind from the journal Alternative and Complementary Medicine in 2007, volume 13, page 5. The title, The Thermodynamics of Healing, Health, and Love. Now, talk about an integrated title. But let me unpackage this title. Thermodynamics. The physicists have told us that everything in the universe is about thermodynamics. And what is thermodynamics? How we use energy. And it turns out that the energy of the sun, which fuels everything about Earth, even our fuels like oil, how we run society, but that very light of the sun also enlightens our understanding, our human relations, our thoughts. So whether it's physical or spiritual, it's all about the light that you might say is part of God or one consciousness. And so from this article, I can quote, "The current connecting human heart's love is identical to the current emerging from the primordial singularity which give rise to creation," quote unquote. What is that? The forces of the great architect of the universe are strength and wisdom. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God. And so we see this everywhere. And so the work that I try to do with integrative hermetic health is to integrate all these concepts, these very ancient concepts of mythology, theology, philosophy, anthropology, with the modern concepts that can serve us very well if we integrate them with the wisdom of the ancients. And so I love physics, I love medicine, I love reading journals, I love the research that a lot of eggheads are doing. I just take them And I make sense of them with the tools that I've also learned from the ancients. So by training myself to use my right and my left hand, my right and my left foot, I think has helped me tremendously. You know, I also found an article saying that bilingual people have a leg up on others because they've learned a different way of expressing themselves, and trilingual even more so. And so that's, in a nutshell, the very basics of integrative hermetic thinking. Of course, we can and package this these concepts a whole lot more. I have a slide presentation on the web that will these concepts in 48 minutes. And then I wrote a slide presentation book that will take days to go through as a book would, but it's nothing but pictures with a few commentaries to further package these simple concepts.
Well, I do think that this is a very profound look at what really nature has given us, which is not just, you know, not just a physical experience of life, but something that is sacred and very subtle. And I think I'm looking at the Hermes, I'm looking at health from the standpoint of the Emerald Tablets, where it says, separate the earth from the fire, like the energy from the food, the subtle from the gross. And then it says, acting prudently, which would mean maybe eating correctly, taking the right kind of nutrition, and with judgment. It says that, and then again in the next sentence, it says, ascend with the greatest sagacity from the earth to heaven. Again, we're talking about wisdom, prudence, you know, sagacity, which is sort of wisdom, from earth to heaven, from food to energy, and then descend again to earth and so forth. But I mean, it's there, this concept of making this transformation in the proper way. And that seems to me what the role of nutrition is in all of this, and taking some of the power away from all these artificial ways of suppressing symptoms.
Exactly. At this point in discussions like this, my left brain begins to scream. And so if anyone wants to look at this from a more scientific point of view, then study Einstein. Go to Scientific American, cover issue about 5 years ago. The cover issue is about the quantum universe. And what's quantum? That's a study of energy. And so take it back to medicine. We are finding that just about every disease is a metabolic problem. And metabolism, what is metabolism? The thermodynamics of the body. Each of our 100 trillion cells needs energy and information to function. This is metabolism. And so whether you have a brain cell or a gut cell or a joint cell or a bronchial cell or even a hangnail, they all need energy and information to function, just like the car you drive. And so the concept of integration of these things is a beautiful thing. And it always leads me back to Einstein, because a lot of people might have a tendency to think, hey, this is all flaky stuff. No, study Einstein. And study Einstein's hero, Newton. Newton was not by accident called the last of the magicians, because Newton, who revolutionized physics, was a closet hermetic thinker.
You know, it's really funny, because I read a translation of the Emerald Tablets by Blavatsky, but right underneath is another translation by Sir Isaac Newton. Because according to Lord Keynes, who bought his library, a lot of his library anyway, he wrote a book about it. He said the story of the actual biography of Sir Isaac Newton's life is more like the life of a boy magician than a scientist. And 10% exactly. of his work in these libraries was devoted to alchemy, often with manuscripts that were transcribed by hand by him. That's how interested he was in it.
Sure. It was a huge BBC documentary, The Last of the Magicians. And so I see that time has become an issue. So
yes,
I thank you for the time you and Hassam have put in to create this program.
Well, we want to thank Hassan Khan, our line producer, who also handles a lot of amount of technical media content development for my company, New Galaxy Enterprises, and has always been just the most, how can I say it, energetic and dedicated person I have ever worked with in my own company at all. I mean, no doubt about it. And he brings into his work the kind of energy and excitement I think that you bring into yours. And into hopefully in mine, too. So
we'll look forward to future programs where we will be more practical about this. We can always revisit the philosophy of integrative hermetic health anytime, but we hope to be more practical and apply these good things to healing at the personal daily level.
Yes, I think this is important because it is highly difficult for people to sometimes grasp the best way to go to solve their medical problems now. And it's really obstructed by all the media and all the pseudo products that are out there. So I look forward to it, and I look forward to meeting you again next week, Doctor.
Thank you very much, Johnny.
And we will go out with this reminder. For more information about Dr. Rodier's practice, books, blogs, and newsletters, contact Hugo Rodier, MD, at www.hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com.